Let us pray. Father, we come before you today, humbled and in awe of your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the way you have designed a family, ordained the father and mother. Though that we sometimes didn't live out the way you want us to be. So Lord, today being Father's Day, we pray specifically for the fathers and fatherhood across our land, across the church, that we bring up our children according to your ways. We thank you that the people here, the men, to lead according to your status, to your purpose. We pray that you continue to use us, fathers, to lead the family, to grow, such that we can become more like you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. I shall welcome Mr. Gunn.
Good morning. 早上好. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 19. These are all the commands, laws, and regulations that the Lord your God told me to teach you, so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And so you and your children and grandchildren might fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his laws and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, to everything I say. Be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands as a reminder, and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land filled with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig, and you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord, who rescued you from every slavery in the land of Egypt. You must fear the Lord your God and serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of neighboring nations, for the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. His anger will flare up against you and wipe you from the face of the earth. Do not test the Lord your God, as you did when you complained at Massah. You must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the stipulations and laws he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord has solemnly promised to give your ancestors. You will drive out all the enemies living in your land, just as the Lord said you would. Wow, what a mouthful. I want to ask you a very personal question again. Last week I asked you a personal question, today I ask another one. Maybe two. I can see that many of us in Bethany are parents. We've been parents for a long time. In fact, some of you are veterans. And of course, there are young parents in our midst. And some of you will soon be parents. Tell me, parents, veterans, including myself, of course, have you ever wished and prayed that God will make your parenting role easier? Tell me, if you have done that, please pray, wished that your parenting job is much easier, wished or prayed. Well, you're all steady one. I prayed many times, you know. My older son today is 37. I prayed, I cried so many times. Jing xin tia le. Sing tong le. But you're steady, you know. Think sermon, this sermon you must come and preach. Now, how many of you, now I ask the other way around. Now that you're a veteran, you look back. You have no regrets. And you say that parenting is a piece of cake. That means, no sweat one. Put up your hand. Kim Ming say yes. You put up your hand, then you put down. Beloved, I want to be honest with you. We're all sinners saved by grace. It's been tough, man. I tell you, I thought marriage was tough. Marriage is too tough for me, lah. You look at my duty, who you are there? Parenting is tougher, leh. Because parenting compound my marriage problem, leh. Do you agree? Parenting make my marriage relationship really tougher, leh. But we'll answer this. But before that, let's pray, Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this passage, this wonderful words through the mouth of your servant Moses. And could I ask you, dear God, to work in our hearts today for those of us parents who feel that we are helpless and hopeless as parents, and we have failed you, we have messed up parenting. I pray, dear God, that this morning through your word, you'll give us courage and your strength to be the kind of parents you want us to be. And for those of us who are complacent, I pray that your word will stir us, oh God, into action, and that when this message is over, your word today will continue to resonate in our hearts for a long, long time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let me give you some background to this wonderful passage, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Old Testament. You see, this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is part of Moses' last sermon for God's people, his last sermon. Okay? By this time, the law, we call it the Mosaic law, had been given, and one generation of Israelites had already died, if you read chapter 1 and 2 of Deuteronomy. And Moses himself was disqualified. He was forbidden to enter the promised land. Again, you read that in chapter 3. You can see the sequence. And in this last sermon, Moses was giving the people a last call for total commitment to God. I repeat, the last call for commitment to God. And he knew that this will be his last sermon. Let me ask you, if today this is my last sermon to Bethany, what would I do? I will joke with you. I'll make you laugh. I'll be casual with you. No, I won't. I will preach to you with all my guts, with all my heart, with all my soul. Won't I? 最后的信息咧, because I may not see you again. So Moses, full of passion, full of love for God, is telling the people for the last time before they enter the promised land to be committed to God. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of the passage. Chapter 6 verses 1 to 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. It was a charge to the people to keep God's law. He was giving them a charge, a commission. He was telling the people about to enter the promised land that if you obey God, if you choose life, two things will happen. The adults, the children, including the grandchildren, will fear God if they keep God's law. Number one, they will fear God even in the land of the Canaanites. The Canaanites were the people who didn't believe in God. They were what you call the world today. Second, he told the people that if they were to keep God's law, then success and prosperity will take place in their life. They'll be successful, they'll be prosperous. And unfortunately, some people turn that into the prosperity theology. This is one of the sources of prosperity theology. So if you obey God, then you will be successful, you'll be prosperous. You notice something in this passage that I just read. And I'm dedicating this message this morning to all fathers here. Mothers, you also benefit, but because it's Father's Day, he was telling the fathers that the moral and the spiritual education of the children is very important. If you listen to the tone there, he was telling them that man, the moral and spiritual education of your children are important. He was telling the fathers, the parents, that children will soak up anything in their earlier years. That's why you have the famous Proverbs verse, Proverbs 32 verse 6. Teach a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not forget it, right? Because children will soak up everything that the parents will teach them. So the moral and the spiritual education of the children is of critical importance. Next, why spiritual education? Why moral education? Because Israel, when they enter the promised land, the people were going to represent God. I repeat, they were going to represent God. As a result of the covenant that God had made with his people, the future generations of the Israelites will be a witness for God. So remember, to be a witness for God means to represent God. To represent God means to be a witness for God after they have entered the promised land. By what they do, by what they proclaim, they will either represent God correctly, or by their failures, they will misrepresent God. And beloved, let me ask you a question. We call ourselves Christians, okay? I call myself a Christian, you call yourself a Christian. Is it possible that we misrepresent God? Possible? Or you think we are perfect people, we are ready to be raptured? No! We can misrepresent God for all our Bible knowledge, whatever schools that you take, because we are sinners. We might forget the law of God, and we may be careless. So Moses wanted the people to represent God correctly, and by doing this, a witness for God. And then when you go to verse 4, chapter 6, this is where you get the greatest of all commandments. He charged the people to love God above all else. 全心全意的爱他们的神耶和华. He wanted the people to love God above all else. Look at this. Hear, O Israel. 听好好以色列. 听好好. For the Lord our God is one, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. There is only going to be one God where Israel is concerned. And this is not a new commandment, beloved. Because back in Exodus 20, you remember the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments? Exodus 20 verses 1 and 2. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So Moses was repeating what he said in Exodus 20. And I believe this time, in his last sermon, Moses was telling the people, you cannot love God with a divided heart. You cannot love God with a divided heart. Total and complete loyalty, devotion is to be expected. You must diligently, 加油尽力, you must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God. All the stipulations, he didn't say part of it, all, 全部, 的立法, all the stipulations and laws he has given you, do what is right in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. Moses insisted on that. And out of that verse, I give you a paraphrase of all. If you want a paraphrase version, the easy to remember one. Okay? It won't be very long, huh? Jesus Christ is to be Lord of all, or else none at all. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, He is to be the Lord of all, or none at all. 明白吗? 有还是没有而已, cannot be partial. His Lordship over your life and my life, His Lordship over Bethany Church, is either all or none at all. And that's how far God expects His people to go. And I want to tell you, today we have a lot of half-past-six Christians, half-big Christians, because we keep certain law, and then we care less about the other law. We only obey what Jesus said for a supposed Sermon on the Mount, what we like, and the rest we throw away. True? And we become inconsistent. Jesus Christ is either Lord of all or none at all. Think for that for a while. Chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. Moses go on to say and teach us, and to me it's a spiritual insight. There is a correlation between spiritual education of our kids and loving God ourselves. I repeat, it's like X and Y, you know, you solve simultaneous equation. There's a correlation between teaching our children godly values and we loving God ourselves. You see, beloved, when we love God, we will inevitably teach the word of God to our children. Am I right? But when we don't love God, or we're very carefree with God, we won't bother. You think for a while. You see, when I was a school teacher many years ago, and I taught for quite a long time, I used to teach chemistry, pure chem rather, and I always take one class for 2 years, sec 3 and 4, before they have normal and express. I found out one thing, you know, when my students like me, or respect me, or love me as the chemistry teacher, they will like my subject. Leh. And they will try very hard to pass chemistry for my sake. Leh. Of course, I feel very good. Leh. My ego. Leh. Then I say, why do you work so hard? You know, Mr. Gung, we like you. Leh. And they will tell me without fear on Teacher's Day. What am I trying to tell you? When you love God, you will teach His law to your children. You will meticulously, deliberately, consciously, intentionally teach God's word to your children. But if you don't love God and you couldn't care less what this God thing and you couldn't care less what He's feeling, I can be sure to you that you just merely come to church and you are not concerned about teaching the law and the word of God to your children. So there is a correlation between loving God ourselves and consciously teaching God's word to our children. Number two, you cannot love God unless you know this God. I'm giving you two simple formula. You cannot love this God unless you know this God. I give you another example. When I first married my wife 38 years ago, I thought I knew her, you know, you don't say pato under the moonlight, under the stars. I'm telling you, the kind of courtship, the kind of under the stars and the moonlight and the candlestick, you tend to have a distorted view of the person whom you think you love. Right? Under the moonlight, under the stars, and then the candlelight, you know. I'm not despising those. Then you think you know this person, so you love this person. The woman loves the man loves her. But after marriage, horror of horror, you find out something you don't like about a person. Sure happened one. And it's happened in my lifetime. Sometimes I still discover things about my wife that I never discovered before. And similarly, she found out something. Like that one. Okay, like that long. But as you get to know that person, then you accept the person, you celebrate the differences, then you begin to love the person unconditionally. Am I right? So this God, whom we say we love, when you first became a Christian, when you started attending church years ago or prayed the sinner's prayer, that was only the beginning. It's a very shallow knowledge. But as the years go by, that knowledge of God should deepen. Am I right? As you know this God, as you get to walk with Him, love Him even more and more. So I say to you that loving God comes with the knowledge of God. You cannot love someone whom you do not know. And I put to you that many of us are immature Christians, weak Christians, because we have never grown in our knowledge of who God is. And we think we know Him and we love Him, but not true. You can only love God that much in proportion to your knowledge of Him. And that is why people do Bible study or come to church, listen to sermon and all that. The whole focus is to help you to know God and then to love Him. And when you love the Lord, you will want to teach His word and you become effective. And therefore, the greatest of all commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, will make sense. Moses, in that last sermon, was preaching with tremendous insight and passion, and was telling the people, 你们要爱耶和华，你们要全心全意的爱耶和华, you must love the Lord your God. And he insisted that they were to teach diligently, intentionally, their own children concerning God's law. He used the word impress them on your children. You have it in your Bible? Impress. The word impress means print it. Print it deep in their hearts. 印在里面. You know, when you print something, you cannot do it away, right? Impress them upon your children. And he tells the adults themselves. It's about you, the adults. When I talk about spiritual education, I'm not talking about your children, whether they are quiet or not quiet, whether they obey. I'm talking about you, whether you would obey the Lord, love the Lord wholeheartedly. And I'm saying it again on the Father's Day today, that you and I love God. The spiritual and the moral teaching of our children will go hand in hand with it. Be careful to obey. You see Moses' address, be careful. Why be careful? Because parents tend to be careless. Parents can be careless. Bring them to church, attend Sunday school, I provide for them, I bring them to school, give them the best, whatever it is. But Moses is saying, be careful. And he addressed the parents, not the children. So our children's obedience to God has to do with our own obedience to God. I want to get this straight, because it's very important. Because this chapter was Moses' last sermon. And I, as a family life counselor, I'm hearing again and again parents telling me, Mr. Gung, what happened to our kids? Why this new generation so hard to teach one? I did bring them to church one. I teach them everything. The answer is, do you love the Lord your God yourself? He was telling the parents. He did not tell the children to obey God. He told the parents to obey and love God. When parents fail to love God wholeheartedly, when we love God half-heartedly, we will find it extremely difficult to teach our own children the commandments of God. In fact, we are disqualified. So the next time, brothers and sisters, you find that you are struggling with your kids, and people say that the teenagers are difficult years, they walk out of their faith, they don't obey that, please go on your knees and say, God, what should I do? What have I done? How can I put my life right? Put your own life right first. Go on your knees. Say, God, what have I done? How can I put my life right? You know, in the New Testament, Timothy, when he was made a pastor, Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. This is a pastoral duty of all pastors. Paul writing to Timothy, I say, as I urge you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach false doctrines. And after that he said, the goal of this command, the goal of this instruction is love. Love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of every pastor, the goal of every preacher, the goal of anyone who stands at the pulpit here, is to help God's people to love Christ more and more. A simple goal. He's telling Timothy, you, in all your teaching and preaching, you are to help the believers love God more and more. You see, I've been to Bethany for so many years, and I'm your old friend. I preach many sermons in pulpit here. I would have failed badly if in all my sermons I have not reminded you to love God more and more. I would have failed. So Sunday after Sunday, when I come to preach, my prayer is that, Lord, help me to inspire the people in Bethany to love you. Because that's the greatest commandment, am I right? That's God's will, what? To love God more and more. If you move down to chapter 6, verse 10 to 13, there is a great warning there. Chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 to 13. The danger of forgetting God. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. Why? Why would Moses tell these people who came out of Egypt and went through the parting of the Red Seas and seen all the signs and wonders that God did? Why did he tell them not to forget God? Because human beings are forgetful. People say, oh, only people with dementia didn't become forgetful. I said, rubbish. You don't have to wait until 40 or 50. Some people get dementia nowadays, even their 20s. Do you know that? Dementia does not come to old age people. Dementia comes to all of us. Because we can forget things. Maybe we will not forget other things. But we have a tendency to forget God. And that is our greatest problem. We have a tendency to forget God. And Moses cautioned them against three things. He told the Israelites, you must not forget what God had said. Must not forget who God is, and must not forget what God had done. Can you remember? What God had said, who God is, and what God had done. Do you know today, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, celebrate the Passover? You know that, right? If you talk to the Jews, the Passover they will still celebrate because they were told to remember their escape from Egypt and later on the crossing the Red Sea. Why? Why did he remind the people not to forget God? It's so easy. It's so easy to forget God when people think they have arrived. It's so easy to forget God when we are successful. You know, sometimes failures, setbacks, have a way of driving us to God. I talked about that last week about prayer meeting, did I? Huh? The trouble is after our prayers are answered, we put God behind. That's why we forget God. But when we are successful, we can forget God. So once the Israelites settle down in the promised land and they prosper, it was so tempting to take all these things for granted and forget that they owe all this to the Lord. I say this to you, that at times we behave like non-Christians. Forgetting God's goodness, when we forget God's goodness, will affect our spirituality. It will reduce our thinking to that of the ungodly. I repeat, if you ever forget God and you're presumptuous and you can't be bothered, you forgot what God has said, who God is, and what he has done, you think your thinking, your value system will be like that of the world. Your spirituality will be affected. And now we come to my climax of the sermon today. We're going to look at a very mysterious command. Chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. The command to teach deliberately and meticulously. And this passage is difficult because of this part. Many Sunday school teachers, if they can, they will avoid this part. Because this is the part that bothers us. If you study Deuteronomy, it bothered me for many years. Okay, let me read for you. Chapter 6, verses 7 to 9. Impress them on your children. Means God's law on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, And when you get up, tie them. This them is the law of God, the word of God, as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your forehead. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. You find that one? This is a very mysterious and strange command. But today, if you go to Israel and you meet some devout Jews, you will not be surprised to find that some of the Jews, the rabbi, they have the law of God written on scripts of paper, then tied around on their forehead. If you go to Israel, those of you who go to Israel, then they wear this long garment, then they have the words of God tied around their sleeves. Then you go to their homes, they have the word of God hammer on their door. Very common. And because they believe that they're keeping this passage. And we modern Christians, what do we do? Okay? Some people, I'm telling you how people interpret it, set up a pulpit in their house. Literally a pulpit, no? Because God's law every day must talk about one. Okay? Then some people will do devotions every day. Kiasu 3 times a day. I was in China, I met a family, missionaries, they belong to the Reform group. I had a meal with them. Say, before we say grace, Mr. Gung, let's read the Bible first. Must read the Bible, then say grace. Well, very long, if you're hungry, your stomach will be growling. Because they believe this passage, they take it literally. Some people say, but those verse memory with the children. Wow, this is a very devout one, very committed one. Some people say fathers every day must open up their Bible, okay, and then preach to their kids. Now I'm not saying all these are wrong, if you want to literally apply this passage. But I believe, after years of studying this passage, that Moses was using figures of speech. Figures of speech. You were to like, we can call it metaphor, he was using metaphorical language. He was not talking about literal. Okay? Not literal. Moses was emphasizing one truth. He was simply saying that the moral and the spiritual education of our children, for those who are parents, or those who are young parents, or those who are going to be parents, the best way to teach our children spiritual truth, the truth about God, is not found in formal classroom teaching, like a church like that, or in a Bible study group, or whatever formal setting. But parents who love God, the qualification is loving God ourselves. Remember, because we have a desire to obey God, and because we are concerned for our children, we will make the knowledge of God's word the natural topic and conversation anytime, anywhere in the home or outside the home. I repeat, because you love God so much, you are thinking about God and you want to obey Him, and yet you're concerned for your children that they will not grow up, they become wayward, you make the knowledge of God, the word of God, a natural topic to talk about with your children anytime, anywhere. Let me put it to you in Chinese. 很自然, 神的话, 很自然地表达出来. Am I making clearer? Naturally, it flows out of you because you love God, you love His word, it comes out of you. He was at the same time telling her parents that to do so, your home environment, the environment of the home, parents need to be careful, meticulous, to make sure that your home environment is conducive, where the children can soak in the word of God. And this one, you're not wrong. If you put up verses, you know, some people put verses in the home, Jesus Christ is the Lord of this house, you know, put cross, whatever, the environment should be one which you intentionally create. An environment where the children will soak in the word of God just by watching and hearing their own parents. I read a true story. This is a very interesting story. I mean, it was quite remarkable. There was this family, and they have three sons. Okay, three sons. And the sons, when they come of age, all of them, one by one, first the older, then the second, tell their parents they want to become seamen, sailor. They want to go sailing. The first one, the parent, reluctant. I know seamen means they leave home for a long time, right? Then the second one said the same thing. Then the third one also said the same thing. So the parents wonder why. And one day, a very good friend visited their home. And these parents told the good friend this sad story. They don't know why, you know, we ourselves are landlocked. Oh, kids love the sea, you know. Then this visitor found that in their living room, there was a big portrait of a ship and sailors in the ship. And the people there were very happy in the picture. Say, no wonder, Lord, look at this picture. Look at this picture. No wonder all your children become sailors. Beloved, you get the point? The children from day one watch and listen what you put up at home, what you say, and what you put up in your family. So for those of you who believe in putting John 3:16 or Revelation 3:20 or Genesis, up to you lah. But I tell you lah, those things itself not enough lah, because they are inanimate. It's your life and my life, the walking Bible, that is more real. Okay, so you have a case of three boys end up becoming sailors. So parents, I have this to say to you. Watch what you say and what you do in front of your own children. If you believe in a spiritual education of your children, watch what you say, what you do, the jokes you crack. I have found out that jokes at home, since it's not in church, can crack more other kind of joke. The children will soak in those jokes more than anything else. See, parents, we all tend to compartmentalize. You like to divide that church was ex-spiritual, more holy. At home, can let our hair down. You know what I mean? So we say what we like to say, you know. You'll be sorry, you know, because they hear and watch what you say and what you do. In the entire nurturing process, we will be living out and showing forth what is God's character in our lives. God's love, God's discipline. Therefore, parents, this message in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is about parents ourselves, consciously, intentionally, meticulously, representing God rightly in the children's eyes. And I put to you again, parents, that you, and I want to dedicate this to all the young parents here. I can see Gerald, a proud young father, aspiring father, and David. You and I, parents, are the most and the greatest significant influencer in our own children's life. Influencer. I like that word, influencer. I found out this only recently, that there is now a new profession called influencer, and people are making money out of it. I'm not talking about the type. That one is commercial one. Okay, and I found out that most of them are women. Am I right? More than men. I don't know why. I must go and do more research. Men and women, fathers and mothers, you are great, great influencers in your children's character. Not the Sunday school teacher, I'm afraid. Not the church. Don't blame the church. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the Bible class. You, according to Moses' sermon, are the greatest of all influencers in your children's life. You will either be a haphazard and careless influencer, which many have done, or you could be a deliberate, thoughtful, prayerful, responsible influencer. And I'm urging you today, based on God's word, parents and parents-to-be, please go on your knees and take this role seriously. You will be the greatest of all influencers in your children's life. Next question is, how can I shape them? How can I influence them? I'm going to give you three levels of shaping. Okay? How do we shape our children's life? The first level, the most elementary level, we teach our children, we influence them by what we say to them. You know, from young, most parents have a way of telling their children, and I've observed them. A boy, ha, pio pa, mami chai, ha. And then some father, a boy, look, daddy chai. You know, you tell your children certain things. From day one, in fact, when you're carrying them, carrying them as babies, what you tell them from day one. This is the first level of influence. What you say. And unfortunately, at certain point of their life, they think you are nagging. Am I right? So you have this and this. Beloved, because it is only the first level of impact, and I don't want you to remain at that level. That level is not a very good level. Yeah, we still to tell. We can preach to our kids. We can quote in the Bible. Okay, and all that. That's what we say. The second level of impact, of influence, we teach and we influence them by what we do with the kids. The first level was what? What we say, right? Now it's what we do. Parents, actually, you do a lot of things for the kids, no? You can play with them, okay? You can go holiday with them, you can eat with them, you travel with them, meal time. We do a lot of things. And when they were young, you notice that when they are preteens, and you have the teenagers, the children will not mind doing a lot of things with you. Am I right? They don't mind. But at some point, they don't want to do with you. Have you all found that out? I found out long ago. You see, when the children were young, I said, let's go for church camp. Okay? Oh, quite follow me. I said, let's go for holiday. Oh, where were we going? They're all very excited, no? Then as they grew older, where are you going? What church camp are you going? You say most of the time when I attend church camp, I only come with my beloved wife. You don't want to go, they make choices. And I mean, they're older already, right? They don't just... So what you can do with them is only up to a certain point. The impact is up to a certain point. Your punishment of them, your reward for them, your praise is up to a certain point. That is the second level of influence. Now I'm coming to the third level, which is the most profound and the most impactful. It's a combination of the first and second. Okay? The third level of teaching and influence, which is the most profound, is we teach them by who we are in their sight. 我们是谁？我们是什么样的人？ Who we are. Now you may say, Mr. Gung, what are you trying to do? You're speaking, right? No. The first level was what? What we say, right? Second one, what we do. The third one is what we are. And I put to you that this one, you cannot escape one. And I cannot escape. Our children will soak in what they see and hear from us like sponges. They read us every day and every night. Some years ago, when my younger son, Jairo, was in primary 2 or primary 3, and I was driving the family out and on the way back, and one day I found myself behind a car in front. And the driver in the car, for some reason, up to now I still cannot figure out, was indecisive. Don't know to keep to right lane or left lane. And after that, slow down on the park, also cannot park properly. And before I could say anything, I hear my younger son in the back seat saying, the driver in front must be a woman. Must be a woman. And that was what I was thinking, no? But I haven't said it yet, no? I was quite amazed. This guy can read my mind. Must be a woman, eh? And of course, later on when I overtook, there was a woman. That day, beloved, I was caught by the Lord. I was caught hearing and watching my own son impacted by my own prejudices against woman drivers. I mean, I haven't seen the face, but he really said woman left. God exposed my male chauvinism that day. You want to look at a chauvinist? Now, here you are, Lord. It's a chauvinist. That day, and the children have their own way of watching us. Parents, I'm sure you know, those of you who are long enough parents, your kids have done it. Every parent, you and I, struggles with being inconsistent. If there's one sin I often confess, it is inconsistency. And I don't mind telling you, this is my open secret. If you have not discovered your own inconsistency as a parent, then you have not begun the journey of godly parenting. If you have not discovered that you are inconsistent, you have not begun. Why discovery? The discovery of yourself will drive you to be on your knees and ask God for help. Am I right? But if you don't see it of yourself, then 无药可救了. You have to see. You have to see that you are inconsistent. And after all, we are sinners. Sinners saved by grace. It is not difficult actually for our children to see us saying one thing now, doing another thing on another occasion. Do you agree? It's not difficult for our kids, especially if they are like us. And I believe that if you are smart, your kids will also be smart. If you are intelligent, your kids will be intelligent. If you are knowledgeable in your Bible, your kids also no problem learning the Bible one. I'm not talking about that. It's not difficult for your kids to see you hearing, saying one thing now, next moment saying something else. Inconsistency. 言行不一致. 讲一套,做一套. I'm going to give you another example. One fine morning, a family woke up, Christian family, supposed to be very committed, devout Christian. The father and the mother has cooked a nice breakfast, toast, kaya, butter, coffee, tea. And then the father say, let's pray. Like the head of the house, right? And he went into a long, elaborate Thanksgiving prayer. 很好听的啦. And after that, people say, amen, right, amen. So they all started. And the father start, look at the toast. Then he say, why this toast so black today? And then he take a sip of the coffee. Then the coffee today, not enough sugar. And then he went on and on. Everything about the breakfast is not good enough. And then the son was watching him. And beloved, your sons and your daughter, I'm telling you, are as intelligent as you are. Lah. Don't blame other people's genes. Lah. It's your genes. Lah. So the son said, Pa, you have just given thanks for the food, but you follow with lots of unhappiness. Which part of your conversation could God take seriously? God expects, believe me, the earlier part, your thanksgiving, 很好听, but now your action shows something else. You and I must watch what we say and do in the presence of our kids. When we criticize other people in our home, when we say bad things about people in the church, when we attack the pastor in our homes, when we condone wrongs in our own life, our children will perpetuate and continue with all our wrong habits. Because what parents condone in moderation, where negative behavior is concerned, our children will carry out in excess. Your little sin, your little wrong, your little prejudices, your little bad habit, your children will pick up and do more than you. It's interesting about the sinful nature, you know. Children will pick up the bad things that we have and do more than we else. 青出以蓝, they will do more. But the good things there, it will take the grace of God for it to happen. But interestingly, when it's a bad habit, abuses, violent behavior, a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, our children will pick it up and carry out into excess. This is because we impact our children. We influence our children by what we are in their eyes. Brothers and sisters, we need God's help. If this message were to awaken in you, I pray that it's not too late. It will awaken in you that you need the Lord to help you to walk the talk in your children's eyes. And I'm asking you this morning that when you discover that you have misrepresented Christ, you have let the Lord down, or you have stumbled your kids, please make amends and corrections early. The key to godly parenting is godly consistency. And I put to you the law of reproduction. You know, people say that healthy parents will produce healthy kids. Healthy thing, doctors will tell you, right? It's in the genes. If you're healthy constituents, you know. At one time, somebody asked LKY, how long do you think he will live? He said, very simple. I think the average age of my father and mother's age, before they die, average, that will be me, you know. You know what LKY mean? Say, let's say your parents 80, right? Then chances of you living up to 80 will be high. You know what that means? Because the genetic factor, the genetic code, has a great part to play in our health. Today I put to you the law of spiritual reproduction. We shall reproduce our own kind. If you are God fearing yourself, your children will be God fearing. You love the Lord, your children will love the Lord. This is called the law of spiritual reproduction. We all inherit natural biological genes from our parents. Your children will resemble you in many ways. The look, the mannerism, the habits, the genes. Our children cannot pick and choose what they like or what they dislike in me and my wife. You know, on certain days when I'm entering into a heated discussion with my children have ever hinted to me, this one, I think I don't want. I want it for my mother's one. You know what I mean? They pick and choose their genes, you know. I say, hello, you have no choice. Your genes I inherited. Beloved, you will reproduce your own kind. So this morning, before I end, let me ask you, what are your own spiritual DNAs? I preached about DNAs some time ago when I preached on the Beatitude. You remember? I talked about Jesus and DNA impacting us. Are your DNAs the same as Christ? If you have the right spiritual genes, then I've got good news for you. Your children will show it. It's a matter of time. Your DNAs. And I believe that when the Lord works in our lives, remember, we impact our children by what we are, it will show up. Christ-likeness will show up day by day. The rest are all fake, all natural. What they call raw one. You know, in every Christian life, there's a raw one and then the spiritual one. The raw one is a natural man. The spiritual one is the work of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for you is that the raw one will be replaced by the spiritual DNA of Christ. Let's close in prayer. As I bring this message to a close, could I ask you to respond to God's word? Because this passage has so much to speak to us. If you do, can you please pray this prayer in your heart? Fathers and mothers, parents to be, could you please pray this prayer? Dear God, please help me to nurture my children. Please help me to pass on my faith to the next generation. And my children will have a personal faith in Christ, not a borrowed faith. Lord, empower me to live for you, so that my children will find me faithful and loving Christ consistently. May the fire of my devotion to you light their way, and let the footprints I leave behind when I'm gone lead them to believe in you. And may the life I live every day inspire my children to obey you. Let my life that I live inspire my children to obey you. If you prayed a prayer, could you put up your hands and I pray for you too? Parents, yes, praise God, I see your hand. Yes, 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 I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. Father, we confess that we are weak and inconsistent, but you are strong and consistent. I'm praying, dear Lord, for myself and for my brothers and sisters here, that your Spirit work in our lives, causing us motivating us, inspiring us to take our parenting role seriously and diligently. That what you teach us, we will not hold back. We will give it to our children. So that, Lord, our footprints that we leave behind will cause them to believe in you. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.